Alright, welcome back to the Nerd Podcast, that's Never Ending Retro Dialogue. I am one of your hosts, Jordan.
And I am Doug, sitting here in the Nerd Loft, nestled safely in central Ohio.
Yes, it's quite lofty and quite nerdy.
Quite nerdy.
Yes. I wanted to make a surprise announcement before we started talking.
Oh, okay.
Something that I have been meaning to do for a while, that's nerdy.
Okay.
I started watching anime.
All right.
I downloaded Crunchyroll, and I started watching Gundam.
Okay.
Because that's kind of a classic. So the reason I bring this up is because I want people to leave me suggestions on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter about what anime I should be watching.
Very good.
Have you ever went into that field?
Yes, but I've never watched anything fully.
Yeah.
I've watched some of the anime movies that they have on HBO Max.
Yeah.
I am still a believer that Avatar The Last Airbender is anime.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it's a more Americanized anime, maybe, if you will. But I think it holds a lot of the same qualities.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've actually been thinking about watching more because I figure one of these days we'll end up doing an episode on it. So,
well, I'll have to give you my login information for Crunchyroll.
Okay.
Because they have so... That's the problem, and that's why I want recommendations, is there's so much. It's like getting into comics. There's so much out there. You just need a little bit of help.
Okay.
And one of our D&D party members actually is quite into anime, and they're giving me suggestions.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, very good.
So that was just my little bit of housekeeping, and I just was excited because it's a new layer of nerddom that I'm exploring.
There we go. Peel back the onions.
Peeling back the onions. So, Doug, what are we going to talk about today?
We, Jordan, are going to talk about cult movies. Now, you may ask, Doug, what makes a movie a cult movie? Well, that is an excellent question, Jordan.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to pin down. Now, I actually wrote down the definition from Wikipedia.
Uh-huh.
I want to read it because it doesn't help very much.
Hit us.
Wikipedia says, a film that has acquired a cult following. That's how it starts. Mm-hmm. And I think that is not very helpful. Cult films are known for their dedicated, passionate fan base, which forms an elaborate subculture. Inclusive definitions allow for major studio productions, especially box office bombs, while exclusive definitions focus more on obscure, transgressive films shunned by the mainstream. So I kind of wasn't sure about that definition, but the main thing was the first sentence, a film that acquired a cult following. Now, cult following is hyperlinked on Wikipedia, so I wrote down that definition too.
Mm-hmm.
Cult following, a small but very passionate fan base. A common component is the emotional attachment the fans have, often identifying themselves and any other fan members of a community. So, I don't know, that's pretty broad, but...
It is, and that was one of the problems we had, right?
Yeah.
Trying to put this all in a nice little tidy package. When I did my search for what makes a cult movie, it was a lot of the same stuff, you know? It wasn't wildly successful at the box office, but it grew through video sales and whatnot. Or, again, it focused on, you know, it was an independent release that, you know, didn't get a wide nationwide theatrical release, so, you know, not a lot of people knew it existed until later. So, what was interesting through everything I looked at is I probably went through maybe 24 different websites.
Oh, wow.
Looking at, you know, their top 50, their top 100, top 24, top 10. And what I found interesting was there were a lot of what I would call successful movies
mm-hmm.
on the list. Pulp Fiction popped up a bunch on the list. Fight Club showed up on almost every list. And I don't see them as cult classics. I know they're quotable, and I know there's a group of people that just absolutely love it. But I think, to me, a cult movie, you go out into the streets and ask 100 people, you know, to quote this movie, over half of them aren't going to be able to, because it just doesn't have that wide
appeal
to people.
Yeah, and I think Fight Club is a good example because everybody knows that you don't talk about Fight Club. Everybody knows that line.
Yeah.
I would be hard-pressed to find somebody who doesn't know that
absolutely.
Line. And so I don't know that it has that necessary cult appeal. I mean, I don't want to be like a movie snob, but like to me, and we were talking about how successful it was and everything, and I think Fight Club was a pretty successful movie. So It is hard for me to call that a cult movie.
Correct. And I agree. It's another movie, another two movies that showed up on the list that we talked about was Princess Bride and John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah.
Now, I've never viewed them as cult classics because I've loved both those movies all my life. I mean, it was, my dad loved them. We watched them all the time. So to me, it just never dawned on me that they weren't originally popular. But there was an article that, while I was searching through everything, that was talking about how movies, as the VHS age took, and you went through that and you hit the digital age with DVDs and streaming and whatnot, that even though they weren't popular in the box office and they started out with this small cult following, that they gained so much popularity. So many people just clung to them and identified with the movie and started sharing the movie that they really no longer hold that cult movie status. And the two examples that they talked about was The Princess Bride and The Thing, is that everyone, As You Wish, everyone knows As You Wish.
Right.
The Cliffs of Insanity. You can go on and on. Everyone's heard of, I would say, safe to say, most everyone's heard of The Princess Bride.
Right.
The Thing, maybe if you don't like horror movies, maybe you've not heard of that.
Yeah.
But it's known more now than it ever has been because of all of that. So I think it's safe to say, Jordan can disagree with me, when we're looking at cult movies, when we tried to make our lists, so what we're going to do is we're going to share one list that we found that we thought, okay, that represents cult movies pretty well. And then we also came up with our own top tens. And I really tried to focus on, you know, it's a smaller movie, wasn't widely released, or it didn't perform at the box office like it should have, either based on, you know, its budget or the people that were starring in it. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I started to look at what makes a cult movie a cult movie.
Yeah, for me, it was mostly focusing on the fan base, how well-known it was. If it wasn't super well-known, like we were talking about, you're talking about, you go ask 100 people, how many of them are going to know it? So I started talking about that. And one thing that, and we'll get to this when we talk to about my list, is that a lot of them, almost all of them, are from the 80s.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And I wondered, as you were talking about the VHS age, if that had something to do with it. The VHS, because now we have like an explosion of content and of the ability to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas back then it was like you had to know somebody.
Oh, so absolutely. I see. Yes.
Yeah. Cult stuff now because it's so widely proliferated. But yeah, I don't know. So yeah, I was mostly thinking about the fan base. It didn't do well in its time, and the characteristics of quotability and passionate following and stuff. So. Viewings and stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. And like I said, most of mine came out to be from the 80s. So we'll have to talk about that.
That's interesting. Well, you know, and like you said, with streaming now, people have the ability to just access almost anything. Yeah. And so it makes it so much easier. And I'm pretty sure on one of the streaming services, there's actually a category, you know, cult classics or cult movies. And so you can just search through that and hit. I have searched through that, and again, it's one of those things, it's like, I'm not sure that that's a cult movie. But, you know, one thing I want to talk about before we get to lists, so getting back to what defines a cult movie, I was bouncing that definition around with Sharon, and, you know, she brought up actually a good point, and it's one that I think we've talked about before, where wouldn't you consider Star Wars a cult movie? Because she was focusing on fan base.
Yeah.
This movie just garners this rabid fan base. And, you know, she's not wrong. And there were some internet sites that talked about, they didn't talk about Star Wars, but they talked about just how, you know, it's really all about the fan base and the following it has. But again, you can make the argument for Star Wars, Harry Potter. Gosh, I mean, I'm sure there's others that I'm missing. Those were the two that came to my mind. But they were just so wildly successful right from the start that, to me, they might have a cult-like following, but they're not a cult movie. Yeah. And that's really kind of the distinction. The movie itself has to be, you know, that's what makes it a cult-like movie. A cult movie is it not the millions of people that...
Right. It's almost like a Venn diagram. And it has to be in the middle.
Correct. Yeah.
It has to be like small but passionate following, didn't do well. And then what's the third one? Like quotability?
Yeah.
And it has to be right in the middle.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we didn't even talk about that. I mean, if you can't say at least one or two quotes from the movie, it's not a cult movie.
Yeah, so right? I think it has to, it almost has to be right in the middle to be a cult movie.
Yeah.
And I think it's always going to be impossible to define exactly what a cult movie is and what makes a cult movie. Because so in my creative pursuits, it is my dream to be a cult classic one day.
Oh.
Like, that's my biggest dream. I don't really care about making it so much as if, like, 15 years from now, they're like, oh, that's that cult classic comic or the cult classic book or something. Like, that's my biggest dream is to follow in the footsteps of people who make cults. But you can't do it on purpose is the other big thing.
That's the thing.
You can't set out to make a cult movie because then it won't be a cult movie.
Yeah.
I think.
Absolutely. Interesting. All right. Well, so let's get into... We went to theringer.com, so that's what we ended up using, because to us, the top 10 at least made the most sense. Now, the original article is top 50, and on there, you're going to find movies like Scarface, I believe, is in there somewhere, Pulp Fiction's in there, Fight Club's in there, but they're further down the list. So their top 10 seem to be, for us, the most agreeable. We don't necessarily like all these movies, but it's for the purpose of, is it a cult movie? We can at least go,
yeah,
that's a cult movie. So, number 10, they have Office Space. You know, Office Space, somebody's having a case of the Mondays.
Yeah.
You know, and so what's funny about Office Space, I did not watch it when it first came out.
Oh, really?
And I was at work, and I was asking someone to do something, and I said... if you could go ahead and do that for me, that would be great. Had no clue.
Oh, really?
I had never seen Office Space. And the person I was talking to looked at me with a blank, just this blank stare. And they go, are you trying to be funny? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I hadn't watched it yet. Yeah. And they're like, you're doing the dude from Office Space. And I'm I had no clue.
That's so funny.
So I ended up renting it to watch it. Full disclosure, hated it the first time I watched it.
Really?
Hated Office Space the first time I watched it. It wasn't, but I ended up watching it because we rented it for the weekend. I ended up watching it like another two or three times going, I got to be missing something.
Yeah.
And it was one of those ones where, man, I think after about halfway through the third time, I'm like, okay. I'm getting this. I like this. And so I watch it like another two times that weekend.
Well, the thing about Office Space for me is it's a Mike Judge movie, right?
Yeah.
Mike Judge created King of the Hill, which is one of my favorite cartoons of all time. Pretty much anything he does, I think, is really quite funny.
Mm-hmm.
But Office Space has a lot of quotability, and I really love Diedrich Bader in that movie.
Oh my gosh, yes.
He's great.
It is such a great movie. Oh my gosh. Okay, number 9, Heathers.
All right, now, full disclosure, I've never seen Heathers.
So Heathers, I've only watched a couple of times. My daughter loves it.
Okay.
Sharon has watched it. Anyone who's never watched it, it's a very dark comedy. I've not watched enough to give a full synopsis.
Okay.
I thought I would... I remember reading the tagline, and it talked about being dark and something, and I'm like, oh, okay. And... I mean, it's a fine movie, but it's not one that I search out to watch.
Well, it's got Winona Ryder in it, right?
Yeah, okay. Christian Slater.
Oh, and Christian Slater. Yeah. So that might be worth watching just for those two.
Yeah.
So maybe for the future.
And I think, let me check the synopsis here. I'm pretty sure the actress from Ferris Bueller's Day Off is in it too, but I don't quote me on that. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not going to go to... IMDb right now to check that out. Number 8, and I think this is definitely a classic cult movie, Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
For sure.
You know, 'tis but a scratch. You've got you've got the rabbit.
The rabbit, the Wizard Tim. I didn't vote for you.
Yeah.
I mean, that movie is endlessly quotable.
Yes.
And that's the one movie that I watched way too young because my dad let me see it.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And I probably didn't get it back then, but yeah. I was like, this is some, there's something to this.
Yeah, yeah. I've let, at least Maddie's watched it, I know.
Oh, yeah.
And she probably shouldn't have watched it when she watched it. But, you know, now this is one, kind of like Princess Bride and The Thing. I never viewed this.
Yeah.
As a cult classic, because it came out before I was born.
Yeah.
And so whenever it was on, Dad would have it on. And so it was ingrained, you know, that this was a classic. I always just assumed it was a classic movie, right. You know, it, man, this is just great. And maybe this falls into, it's gained such a wide following through release and time that maybe it's not, but I don't know. I think for the purposes of this, it deserves to be in this list.
Well, you do raise an interesting point, because there are some movies that were so close to them that we just grow up thinking it's normal.
Yeah.
And like, oh, yeah, like I've seen this movie 500 times. And then people are like, what are you talking about? What movie is that? So some of these movies, by their nature of us being cult classic members of that audience,
yeah,
we don't even know they're cult classics.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Number 7, David Lynch's Eraserhead.
All right, now I'm going to say this. Eraserhead is the weirdest movie I've ever seen in my life.
Agreed.
It is a movie that I watched probably 6 or 7 years ago. To this day, I still think about how weird it is and what does it mean. What does it mean? Now, I think it was David Lynch's first movie, too, so he just got everything. Now, I'm a big David Lynch fan. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen all his movies, but obviously, if you know me, Twin Peaks is my favorite TV series of all time. I had to watch Eraserhead. So yes. I rented it from the library, and I watched it, and I just, to this day, I'm still like, what was going on in that movie?
It is, I don't even know how to describe it. It is just so bizarre. The one thing that I take away from the story of Eraserhead, and not the movie, mm-hmm. just it's about getting it made, right?
Yeah.
Is he was so determined to get this made. He had gotten a grant from, I think, the AFI.
Oh.
But he ran out. So he ended up taking, I want to say it was a paper route. Oh, shoot. Not the New York Times. Anyways, he took a paper route. Maybe someone can correct me. To earn money to finish the movie. So, I mean, it is just, so good on him.
Yeah.
But
that seems like a very David Lynch thing to do.
Look, I don't know that I would recommend that anyone needs to see Eraserhead. Yeah. But, you know, if you've got time to kill and you want to kind of shake your head in disbelief at what you just watched for the last, you know, hour and a half if or whatever it is.
If you want to see a strange movie that you'll never be able to talk to anybody about.
Yeah.
Except for even other people who watched it are just like, I don't know.
Yeah. No, yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Eraserhead's for you then.
Yeah.
On to number 6. Number 6, Wet Hot American Summer. So this is one I had never heard of.
Oh, really?
Until just maybe a couple years ago. Because this came out, what, the mid-2010s?
Oh, no, it came out earlier.
Oh, that, did it? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Because that was like...
Oh, 2001.
Yeah.
Maybe I saw it in the mid-2010s.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably more like
That's it. When I saw it, yeah.
Yeah. I had never heard of it. I think we watched it on one of the streaming services.
Yeah.
So.
I watched it. I was in college, and they were just coming out with the series, with uh-huh. American Summer. So I watched it, and it's got a lot of really great actors in it, and some of their first big roles.
Yeah.
It's really funny. I haven't seen it enough to comment on its cult status.
Correct. And that's what I was going to ask. I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But top 10 cult movies?
It's weird how many of these movies are I'm unfamiliar with, because I love cult movies.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't have a lot to say. Yeah. I've watched it the one time. It was fine.
Yeah. I recommend it if you have never seen it.
Absolutely. My personal opinion, it doesn't belong in the top 10 of cult movies all time.
Yeah. That's a strong choice for The Ringer.
It is. So, the next movie, full disclosure... And look, I'm probably going to get some hate for this because the people who love this movie, right. And that's why it's a cult classic. But number 5, Donnie Darko. I watched it, didn't,
yeah.
I didn't get it. I don't know. I've tried seeing it a second time and I ended up turning it off halfway through. I don't get the appeal, But man, does it have a following.
It does. And that's some, you know, I have tried to watch it several times. I just can't, I can't get into it. And like, I don't, and it's not a personal thing. It's just something that I can't, you know, and I understand why people like it. I just, it's, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think we should also say that like, you and I have a very similar taste in cult movies or movies in general.
Correct. And I think that'll be shown when we do our top tens.
Yeah, I definitely will. But I, so like, if you're listening and you're like, what was wrong with these guys? It's just like, I think we have more, a different sort of taste for than this list does, because I, maybe our cult movies are like cult movies.
Maybe. Now look, but I can step back and I can recognize why this movie is in the top 10. It is definitely a cult movie.
Right.
And it deserves to be on this list based on all the people that I've talked to that love it. I know I have a couple friends that absolutely just love this movie and think it's great. So I can accept the fact that it's a cult classic. Yeah. I just, it's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, it's not quite, doesn't check the boxes for me.
Correct. And hey, that's what's great as we enter the top five.
Yeah.
That's what's great about cult movies. This is all subjective, right?
Right.
I mean, it's what makes a cult movie. Not everyone liked it. And that's why it has the following it has, is that this group of people were able to find something that they enjoyed, and man, they just latch on. And that's what's great, whether it's a theme of the movie or the protagonist or just the tone. That's what makes the movie special.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, and that's what makes a cult movie.
Yeah, it's something personal to everybody who watches it, so.
Now, number four is definitely a top 10 cult classic, and that is This Is Spinal Tap.
Yes. Now, I'm going to say this. I've only seen This Is Spinal Tap one time. I want to see it more times, but I watched it in college, which was like a perfect time to watch it, because it was just like, everything was like flying loose and fast, and your mind is forming, and that's a key part of cult movies. So
mm-hmm. It is so quotable. The characters are just so absurd. Now, full disclosure, for me, the movies that were spawned after this from Christopher Guest, based on this style, the mockumentary, I enjoy so much more than This Is Spinal Tap.
Okay.
You know, Waiting for Guffman and Best in Show.
Yeah.
And
what's that other one? A Mighty Wind.
A Mighty Wind. Yeah. Those, and For Your Consideration.
Yeah.
I love those movies so much. And to me, I enjoy them more than This Is Spinal Tap, but I can appreciate that This Is Spinal Tap for what it did at that time.
Yeah.
Think about who was all in that, and you got Rob Reiner doing it, right?
Yeah.
And it's just such a different approach. I remember the first time I watched it, and I thought, I was younger, I thought this was really a documentary, and I never had heard of this band.
Yeah.
And my dad had to explain to me what a mockumentary was.
Was this the first big mockumentary movie?
As far as I'm aware, but I, you know, maybe I'm wrong. So, hey, visit our socials and let us know if we're idiots and there's another mockumentary that we missed.
Yeah, was there one that spawned the Spinal Tap, or was Spinal Tap the one that launched 1,000 ships, you know?
Right, yeah.
Because Spinal Tap is certainly the most, I would say, most famous mockumentary.
Absolutely.
So, which is funny because it's a cult movie, but it's so famous.
And this might be another one, right,
yeah,
where if you step back and analyzed it, that maybe it's through time has outgrown that. But I would also argue that if you compare it to like Princess Bride, I think Princess Bride, more people will know that than This Is Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
You know, I still think that there's that. Number three was an interesting addition on this list that I had never considered. But here it is, Dazed and Confused.
Dazed and Confused is great. I love Dazed and Confused. Did not think of it as a cult movie, though.
No, same. I did not either. And full disclosure, I have not checked the particulars to see what kind of money it made at the box office. We just, for overall, this list made most sense to us.
Yeah.
But Dazed and Confused, I never considered a cult classic. Again, it's one of those movies where, I mean, I like it, but it's, if I never watch it again, I'm okay. But I understand its appeal, you know, and why it's, you know, held on for so long.
Well, the fun thing about Dazed and Confused, and the last time I watched Dazed and Confused, it was like 3 in the morning. I woke up, I couldn't go back to sleep, and it was on VH1 or something, which is like the perfect time to watch it because it's just like such a weird movie.
Yeah.
The thing about Dazed and Confused, I think, is that it has a little bit of something for everyone in terms of story-wise because there's so many different stories.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those movies that has an ensemble cast, and a lot, and some of them grew up to be, you know, pretty famous. I think Mila Jovovich is in that one.
Oh, is she? She yeah, might be.
I think she is, and so there's and so it's kind of an interesting movie because there's so many moving parts to it. It's a little bit like Love Actually, where there's so mm-hmm. many storylines going on. But yeah, I like Dazed and Confused. I never thought of it as a cult movie though. So
no, nor had I, and so I was kind of shocked when this was on the list, anyways, and then to be number 3.
Although it did launch 1,000 memes with the. Matthew McConaughey. Line.
Well, you know, isn't it funny how a whole career can just be just lit on fire
yeah.
with 3 words, right?
Yeah.
That's absolutely just hilarious. All right, number 2. When you talk about cult movies or what is the most famous cult movie in your mind? I think of number 2 when I was quizzing Sharon last night. What do you think is the most iconic cult classic movie? This was the one she came up with, and that's the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I would agree. That's probably the one that comes to most people's minds.
Yeah.
Because it's so, I mean, it's so iconically cult.
Yeah.
Everything about it, it's the middle of the Venn diagram.
Yeah. It is. Now, full disclosure.
Yeah.
Here we go again.
Here we go.
I don't care for the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I understand why it's so popular.
Yeah.
I get it, man. It checks all the boxes for a lot of people. You've got that soundtrack. You've just got that weird, kooky,
yeah, campy, you know, sort of nature.
Campy vibe to it. You've got these stars that were in there that ended up, you know, doing these grand things.
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat to sit back and look at them in this. But I just... I don't get it.
Yeah.
I am not trying to disparage anyone who loves the Rocky Horror Picture Show because I get it. I don't know. I've tried so many times to watch it and like it, and I just can't.
Yeah.
But man, I know so many people
yeah.
that just absolutely love it.
Well, they have live viewings.
Yeah.
Where people reenact, even in our small town,
yes.
Marysville. They had one last year, or maybe 2 years ago, I can't remember. But they had one, and that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Because Marysville's not that big. Marysville's not a metropolitan area.
Mm-hmm.
But they had the reenactment of it. So
yeah.
even a small town like this, it's... And I think it's just become a legacy. And obviously you have Tim Curry, who really cemented the whole movie, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, it was a musical, so people know the songs. And you just have that dark vibe, and I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't put it in my top. I didn't put it in my top 10.
No, nor did I. But, spoilers.
But I definitely see the cult appeal.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Even not being a fan, I mean, you know the songs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, someone can play a song, and you're like, okay, Rocky Horror
yeah.
Picture Show. I mean, it is literally. It's been around for so long. It is engraved.
Yeah.
In the culture.
Yeah,
and that's absolutely great. And that's, again, that's what's great about cult movies is here's something that wasn't super popular and has just become such a big part of people's lives.
Yeah.
So, in almost every list we looked at, either Rocky Horror Picture Show was number 1 or number 2, and then this next movie was either number 1 or number 2. It almost, I think in every list I looked at, which again was like, dozens.
Yeah.
They were practically
interchangeable.
Every once in a while you had a wild card. But this one, number 1 for this list, The Big Lebowski by
yes.
the Coen brothers.
Yes.
Now I could probably talk on a whole podcast
right.
about The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, definitely one of my favorite movies of all time. One of the best comedies of all time. One of the best movies of all time. One of the best cult movies of all time.
Yes. Just talk about it. It's the character, for me, the characters are just so amazing.
Yeah.
You know, between Walter and the dude and Donnie. Yeah. And as we're talking about the Big Lebowski, I'm staring at a poster that my daughter got for me, and I've got hung up on the wall in the Nerd Loft. I mean, it is just, it kind of, and you might see a theme with some of my movies on my list. It's just, that's the type of stuff I like.
Yeah.
You know, it's absurd. It's a little, it's got a little darkness to it.
Yeah.
But you know, it is just some goofy characters.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just one, to me, it's the best movie the Coen brothers made. Maybe Raising Arizona is right up there with it. I know other people would pick No Country for Old Men and Oh Brother, We're Out There and stuff. But to me, this is just, it's a shame that it didn't do as well as it should have in my mind. But you know, I'll embrace it as a cult classic. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's got the characters. It's got the dialogue, for sure.
Oh,
the
absolutely.
Quotability is there.
Yes.
But for me, I think it's the story, because it's just a string of things that happen to the wrong guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that when that happens. And it's almost like we talked about, well, we didn't talk about it on the podcast, but we've talked about picaresque novels before, where it's just a series of adventures. It's almost like that for the dude. And, yeah, it's just, it's so great, and it's, I mean, what can you say about the Big Lebowski that hasn't been said, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is funny, because it's a cult movie, but but the people who like the Big Lebowski like it so much.
Yeah. Now, have you ever gone to, so I know there's a theater in Columbus, is it, oh gosh, I always get the name wrong, Studio 35?
35, I think, yeah.
And they do a Big Lebowski showing every year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a blast. So, absolutely love the Big Lebowski. I, again, really don't have any complaints about the top 10 that they had. Mine is a little different.
Oh, yeah.
So, some honorable mentions from their list that, to just give you an idea of what else they had on there that was outside of the top 10. They had the Evil Dead movies, a movie called Old Boy. Repo Man is always up there as far
love
as...
Repo Man.
Repo Man's a great movie. The Warriors, another great movie. That was just outside the top 10. Fire Walk With Me, the Twin Peaks movie. That's a great one. This movie, this list actually had The Thing on there.
Okay.
And it also has Princess Bride. I do want to talk about one movie that has that showed up on not every list that I looked through, but it showed up on quite a few that... I mean, I guess it shouldn't surprise me that it's a cult movie, but I just find it just absolutely hilarious that it's a cult movie, and that is Showgirls.
Okay.
I
thought that was just bad. I didn't think
I thought so, too. I thought it was just... Now, I was of an impressionable age when Showgirls came out. And so I remember the whole, you know, Jesse from Saved by the Bell is making a risque movie. Oh, my gosh. But it's just, it's a terrible movie.
I don't know that I've ever seen it all the way, because it came out, I mean, when did it come out? Like the early 90s?
Now, my theory is that because of the subject matter and the content of the movie... Maybe it has a certain cult following.
Oh.
And we'll leave it at that.
Right.
But yeah, I wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah.
That of all the movies, there were a few movies that just kind of went, oh, that's a cult movie. Showgirls was probably the most surprising. And it made me laugh every time I saw it. So anywho, so let's go ahead and go to our top 10s, right? So you want to go first?
All right. So I want to start with my honorable mention, which was not on any list that I found, but I have decreed it to be a cult movie. Flash Gordon.
Ooh, Flash Gordon was on some of the lists I saw.
I didn't see him on any of the lists. The thing
not
about
many.
Flash Gordon is it's quotable, it's fun, it's a space opera, and best of all, it's got a soundtrack by Queen.
Yes.
So I threw it on the honorable mentions because it's just a great time. I actually watched it thinking I was going to make fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched it and I was like, wow, this is actually really good. For me, I thought it was good. I'm a big sci-fi fan, so I liked it a lot. So I'm going to read my list, and this is just in order of my personal favorites.
This is our podcast.
Right, this is our podcast.
We can list it however we want.
Yeah, so number 10, and this was almost my honorable mention, but is Escape from New York.
Ooh, okay. That was on several of the lists. Yeah.
Escape from New York is a fun movie.
It is.
I've probably seen Escape from L.A. more.
Oh.
But Escape from New York is better. Well, I was really young.
Yes.
So I was just like, oh, Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know about Escape from New York. But, you know, this is going to be a reoccurring theme on my list.
Mm-hmm.
John Carpenter. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So get ready to hear that name a lot. John Carpenter is probably pound for pound my favorite director. But Escape from New York is probably my least favorite cult movie that he's done.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen all his movies. But the ones I have seen, not that it's my least favorite in a bad way, it's just probably the one that appeals to me the least. Although Snake Plissken is totally cool.
Yes.
And like,
great character.
Timeless character. We talked about this one a little bit, but number 9 is Fire Walk With Me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I put this one on here just because I love Twin Peaks so much. You really have to like Twin Peaks to like this movie, I think. I watched it on the big screen once in theaters, and it is an assault to your senses. It's loud, it's aggressive, it's hard to watch on the... I would watch it on TV. I wouldn't... If they have, like, a big screen showing, maybe go to that, but, like, just be prepared for, like, being hit over the head with a baseball bat, basically. it is, like, a dark, dark version of Twin Peaks. It's basically probably what David Lynch really wanted to do. But you can't really talk about cult stuff without David Lynch, and so, you know... And I would rather watch this than Eraserhead, so...
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. Number 8, and I think that this is one that we're both going to have, but, you know, you can tell me when you get to your list, is UHF.
Great movie.
With the great Weird Al Yankovic. This is very quotable. It's got, well, I don't know that it has a lot of great characters, because there aren't a lot of characters in it, but obviously Weird Al's great in it, and, you know... Not a lot of people know this movie in terms of, like, I don't know that I've seen, know a lot of people that have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even watch it until I was out of college, probably.
Okay.
So I was probably in my early 20s, and I was, you know, and one thing that is nice about working at the library is you have access to all these weird movies and things you can just get through the system. So I said, you know what, I'm going to get UHF. I've never seen UHF. And then it really relaunched my love for Weird Al. Because I grew up listening to him, and we'll talk about that later, but, you know, so. Number 7.
Uh-huh.
Blade Runner.
Okay.
Blade Runner, great movie. Harrison Ford is great in it, as he is in pretty much everything he's ever been in. And one thing that you may not know, well, you know this, but the listeners may not know, is it's based on a Philip K. Dick story.
Yes.
And if you know me, I love Philip K. Dick. I'm basically obsessed with the guy. And so it's comes from a story called Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? And I didn't know that for a while, but then I had seen Blade Runner when I was younger, but then I read the book, and then I wanted to watch the movie, and I think the set design is just beautiful. The dialogue is, I mean, the Tears in the Rain thing.
Mm-hmm.
People know that speech if you're into the movie. It's like a cult speech. And one thing that I think is underrated about it, or not talked about enough, is the soundtrack. I used to create comics and stuff to that soundtrack all the time. So, yeah, so, but I don't think it did very well in terms of getting money.
No.
Because, and then there was, like, all the different releases of it.
Yes.
And I don't remember what they are. There's, like, the theatrical cut and the director's cut and the final cut.
Yeah.
And then there was the sequel, and now there's going to be an anime. So it's getting a little bit more exposure, but a lot of people don't know Blade Runner. So
great movie.
Great movie.
Great sci-fi movie.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, I love sci-fi, so that's probably one of the best sci-fi movies that I've ever seen. Pinnacle of sci-fi, really. Number 6, I don't think you have this one on your list, Monster Squad.
Oh.
Now, I have a personal affection for Monster Squad.
Yeah.
It is, if you've never seen Monster Squad, it's basically a group of young kids who have to fight the universal monsters, basically. Dracula, Wolfman, Creature from the Black Lagoon, Frankenstein, and the Mummy. But it was actually the subject of a documentary where they talk about, it's the Wolfman's Got Nards is the name of the documentary, because that's the most famous line in the movie. But they talk about what makes a cult movie, so I was thinking about that when we were talking about what makes a cult movie, because the director, who also did Night of the Creeps, which is also really great. Have you ever seen Night of the Creeps?
I have not.
Oh, man, we'll have to watch that for Halloween. It's really good. Yeah, so Monster Squad, really great movie, and totally underrated.
Agree. Monster Squad's one of those movies that I had seen a bunch, and then like had not seen in years. Yeah. And it was either you or my buddy Steve I was talking to about it. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I happened to find a used copy of it at a bookstore. And I snagged it. And now every year since then, so, you know, probably last 6 years.
Yeah.
We'll watch it this time of year. Yeah. Wolfman's Got Nards. Greatest line in cinema history. If not one of, anyways.
Number 5 we already talked about, but it's The Big Lebowski.
Uh-huh.
Probably should be higher on my list. That's actually, I was surprised by how many comedies were on that list.
Oh, okay.
You know, because usually I think cult horror movie. So we've already talked about that one. So number 4, Evil Dead. Now, I'm kind of lumping Evil Dead in with Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness because there's really no separating them.
Yes, agreed.
They all go together. Mm-hmm. And like we kind of talked about before the show, Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2. I mean, Evil Dead's a reboot, remake, sequel of Evil Dead. So you can't really... Evil Dead 2 is probably my favorite of them because it strikes the best balance.
Yes, yes.
But the whole franchise, and I mean, Bruce Campbell is just like a cult icon. And one movie that I didn't put on my list but we could talk about is Bubba Hotep.
Oh, Bubba Hotep.
That's another cult movie. If you've never seen that, geez, watch that for Halloween.
Right.
But yeah, the quotability, I mean, groovy. Just one word, and that just evokes the whole of the show, or the whole of the movie, I mean. So that is really great, and I cannot recommend that enough. Although there's a part where somebody gets stabbed in the ankle with a pencil.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that when I was a kid, and it still freaks me out so much to this day. All right, now, this is the John Carpenter block.
Here we go.
Number 3, They Live.
Uh-huh.
Personal favorite of mine, not only because it has Rowdy Roddy Piper in it, and I'm a huge wrestling fan, but it has got great social commentary.
Yep.
It's got a great premise.
Yes.
It's got an inappropriately long alleyway fight scene. Yes.
Oh my gosh, the fight scene.
It's got great dialogue.
Yes.
Everything about it is cult. And I don't think a lot of people... I think this is probably John Carpenter's least... Because when people think of John Carpenter, I think they think of the big three. Escape from New York, The Thing, and Big Trouble in Little China. But this is... And I think of those because of Kurt Russell, but this is different. And it's got Roddy Piper, it's got Keith David, it's got a great premise, and everything about it to me is just screams cult.
Yes, it's one of the most underrated Carpenter movies
for sure. Number 2, this is going to be put in contention. I forgot the word. The Thing.
Okay.
Now, you never thought of that as a cult movie, but I didn't see it till I was in college, so I already thought of it as a cult movie.
Okay.
And when I saw it in college, I was like, wow, this movie holds up because of the practical effects.
Yes.
But the great thing about The Thing is that it's a horror movie that's really about paranoia.
Yeah.
And like that really creeps into you as you're watching The Thing. And Kurt Russell as R.J. McCready, great.
The movie is just... So, spoiler, I did not put it on my list because of the big spiel I gave at the beginning. But that movie is just one of my absolute favorites. Not just horror, but it's such a great movie. What I thought was interesting, I remember reading an article about The Thing. Wilford Brimley was wildly, mostly unknown at the time. He had been doing stunt work and some writing and whatnot on movies. They casted him as an unknown, purposely, so that when he disappeared from the movie, when they had to lock him in into the room, you wouldn't sit there and worry about, well, my God, what happened to so-and-so? You know, they didn't want a big-name actor to be that character because they were afraid that it would immediately make people go, oh, well,
he's the thing.
He's the bad guy. He's the thing. So interesting. That movie is just so great.
Yeah. And it's still scary.
It is. Oh, it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
One of Kurt Russell's greatest roles.
Yeah, and speaking of Kurt Russell.
Yes.
And John Carpenter.
Yeah, yeah.
My number one pick is my favorite movie of all time, and that is Big Trouble in Little China.
Can't go wrong there.
I don't think it's the greatest cult movie, like most culty movie of all time, but to me it's my favorite because I've seen this movie dozens of times. I still have trouble explaining it to people. It's a trucker kung fu magic movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just got all these elements that shouldn't go together, but they work so well. Obviously, they didn't work in the first place.
No.
When they came out in the theaters. But it takes a special kind of person like me, like a weirdo like me, to just see Kurt Russell driving a truck, fighting these clans of martial artists and these magicians and this undead ghost, and you're just... Now, I will say this, though. I saw Big Trouble in Little China when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
I spent years thinking I made that movie up.
Because there's no way it could be real.
There's no way it could have been real.
No way.
I was in college, and I was like, I found it again. Yeah. I was like, this was real.
This was a real movie. Whenever it was on TV, my dad would stop on it. And so I just... And I fell in love because being younger, it's like all the silliness made it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh. None of it should work.
No.
None of it should work. But it is... Kurt Russell plays it with such conviction that you're just sitting there going, yeah, you know, just another day.
Kurt Russell puts everything into his roles, and that's what makes that movie. And the quotability.
Oh my gosh.
The comedy, the serious fights.
Yeah.
Everything that you just wouldn't think would mix into a movie, it's just great.
Yeah.
It just makes it.
One of my proudest moments is that Wyatt, my youngest, loves this movie, and he will still quote it.
Yes.
It is absolutely one of the best movies ever.
It's great. It's my favorite movie of all time. I watch it all the time.
Yep. Absolutely. That's a good list, man.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a good list. So I'll go to my top 10. So I ended up doing two honorable mentions.
Okay.
And both of them, I'm not sure if they're cult movies. I did see one of them listed in a top whatever cult movies of all times. It was a bigger list. Okay. So it may have been in like the 60s.
Yeah.
But that's The Adventures of the Baron Munchausen.
Great.
Anyone who's not seen it, it's directed by Terry Gilliam of Monty Python fame. It is just absurd. You get cameos from Robin Williams, among others. You've got Eric Idle in there. It's just one of those movies that it was always on, so Dad would and Dad would keep it on. I loved it when I was younger because, again, it's just silly.
Yeah.
You're just all over, and it's this big sweeping story. Is it fantasy? Is it real? What's going on? It wasn't until I was older and watching it and the theme of it's that old, you know, dreams versus reality, you know, rational, you know, logic, which one wins out. And when you let one rule with an iron fist, then the dreams just die.
Yeah.
And so it's just like that always hit me. So that's an honorable mention. The other one I really don't think is a cult movie, but The 13th Warrior.
Okay, I've never seen this movie.
It stars Antonio Banderas.
Okay.
He plays an Arab who was found canoodling with the Shah's wife. And so he's banished to be an emissary to far lands. And they happen upon these group of Vikings that are celebrating the life of their king who has passed. And then they end up being called to help another land, and he goes with them, and he's the 13th warrior is the whole thing. They pick 12 Vikings, and they needed a 13th that wasn't a Northman.
Okay.
It's based on a Michael Crichton short story.
Oh.
Eaters of the Dead. The movie is absolutely amazing. I can't praise it enough. I don't know that it has a cult following, though. I do know that I found a few people who absolutely love it as much as I do, but I think for the most part, it's just viewed as a box office flop. Nothing more. So here we go to my top 10. My number 10, the same as the 10, the number 10 on the list we did was Office Space.
Okay.
Ever since getting past that first viewing, I just absolutely love it. It's so quotable, and maybe it's just because I'm middle-aged and you know, I just identify with Pete so much that, you know, I just love it. Number 9, so the next two are my Kevin Smith entries into the world. Number 9 is Dogma. I think Dogma is just one of the greatest movies ever made.
Really?
Absolutely love it. The themes, obviously, but it's just absurd, but yet with that underlying theme that's just great. If you haven't watched it, if you were raised Catholic and you're not Catholic anymore, watch it. If you're still a very devout Catholic, maybe not so much.
Just skip it.
Number 8, Clerks and Clerks 2. Yeah. I am merging them together. Full disclosure, I actually like Clerks 2 more than the original Clerks.
Really? I never saw Clerks 2.
It's just a little bit more over the top.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just that comedy. It's just absurd. Clerks 1, I appreciate for how he was able to get that made and what they were able to do. It's just a great movie. Again, working in retail, you know, some of those stories you can kind of relate to.
I have to say that since we're talking about Kevin Smith, Chasing Amy is my favorite one.
Chasing Amy is a great movie, and I thought about putting that on here, but I was afraid of putting three Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
I need to spread the love here a little bit.
Well, I think Clerks is definitely more of a cult movie than Chasing Amy. Chasing Amy is just personal for me because it's about a comic book artist.
It's absolutely a great movie. Number seven for me, They Live. It's for all the reasons you mentioned. It's just, again, if it was on, Dad had it on and we watched it. The whole premise is just great.
The premise is almost more applicable today.
Yes.
Because of social media and the way that we consume things.
Absolutely. So what's funny about that is we were talking about this movie one time a few years ago, and my daughter was asking about it. She had never seen it. I didn't own it. And Sharon found it on DVD. She got this collection that it's on there and whatnot. And so Patty watched it, absolutely loved it, because she was old enough. So when I was watching it, I didn't get the meaning of all those subliminal messages. Yeah. Maddie was old enough, and she's like, oh my gosh. She goes, Dad, this is today.
Yeah.
And she's right. I mean, it's even more pervasive now than it was then. Number six for me, we already talked about, but that's UHF. I don't know what to say about that movie we didn't already. It was another one that whenever it was on, we watch it. Yeah. It is just Weird Al being goofy, given the reins to make something. He made it. And it's just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, Wheel of Fish.
Wheel of Fish.
Spatula City.
Spatula City,
My gosh. I just love UHF so much.
That's one thing. We went to see Weird Al maybe a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
And I just was thinking the whole time, because we stood in line for the merch booth, and I just thought the whole time, they should be selling spatulas.
Yes.
I would have bought a spatula.
Oh, me too. That would have been great. Oh my gosh. That's such a great movie. It is so fun. Number five, you kind of alluded to it.
Okay.
Bubba Hotep.
Oh, okay. I didn't think that would be on your list.
So it wasn't originally.
Okay.
When I made this list a few days ago in prep for this, it wasn't. And then I was sitting up here in my nerd loft just playing some video games, as one does in a nerd loft. And I looked behind me as I was getting up to leave, and I stared up at the two action figures where you've got Sebastian going against Bubba Hotep.
Yep.
And I'm like, you know what? I have to put this on my list.
Yeah.
I have to find it. So anyone who doesn't know, Bubba Hotep, the premise is you have this mummy who is being transported, and there's this accident, and he ends up in the swamps in Louisiana, and he's feeding on the decaying souls of these elderly in a senior center. Well, in the senior center, you have this guy who says he's Elvis. Is he? Is he not? You don't know. It's Bruce Campbell. In my mind, this is his best acting role ever.
Wow.
It is so fun. So he says he's really Elvis. But he traded. He was tired of that lifestyle. But he ends up going as an Elvis impersonator, gets injured. Now he's in the senior center. Who is in the senior center with him?
John F. Kennedy.
John F. Kennedy, being played by the brilliant Ozzie Davis. So he claims they put a sandbag in the back of his head.
Yeah. God, that movie is...
It is absolutely ridiculous, but it is so much fun. It is just it's an absolute joyride. And I watch it every year. Watch it every year. Especially this time of year.
Yeah,
but it is great all the time. The next movie... number four for me, Evil Dead. Like you, I just did the franchise.
Yeah.
And I don't think I need to add anything to it that you didn't already. It's Bruce Campbell just being Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi torturing him, and it's great. I agree Evil Ted is probably the best of the three, but I actually think I like Army of Darkness better, just because it's just goofy.
Yeah, it depends on my mood.
Yeah, but Evil Dead 2 is a true balance, like you said. Number three, a movie that we didn't allude to, but we have talked about his director. And that's The Fog. So because I decided I was going to be, you know, true to my word and not put The Fog in this, or the Thing, I put The Fog.
Okay.
And I love The Thing, and I like Halloween. I love In the Mouth of Madness. I mean, there's so many John Carpenter movies that I love. The Fog, though, I don't know why, but I just absolutely love watching it.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because you've got The Fog. It's this mist. It's this uncharacteristic villain. Then you've got these dead pirates coming back to avenge themselves. I don't know. To me, it's just one of my favorites of his, especially in the horror genre.
Yeah.
I love that The Thing is cream of the crop, but The Fog is right there.
I think the reason that The Fog is so good, and it's almost like The Thing, you don't really see the monster.
Yeah.
It's there,
but
it's in the periphery, and you're just like scared because you're like,
what's going to happen next? What's going to go?
And I think John Carpenter's really good with that because he did it in The Thing.
Yep.
He did it with Michael Myers, the first one, because he was just the shape. He was just behind a bush or something until he came at you. And then The Fog.
Yeah.
So, I think that's a great entry.
And like most of his stuff, I mean, his soundtrack the music he puts with it. I mean, we could do, well, I'm sure we'll have a John Carpenter themed episode anyways.
We're going to have to.
Oh my gosh, love him so much. And then number two is Big Trouble in Little China. I could have put it number one and interchanged it with my first one. I love Big Trouble in Little China. Again, like a lot of these movies, whenever it was on and Dad had control of the TV, it stayed there.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean, my gosh, it's the perfect mix of silliness, of action. I'm staring at a Big Trouble in Little China poster right now. I mean, it is just... is just fantastic.
And you know, I forgot to mention that I actually saw it. They put it on the big screen at Gateway.
Really?
One year, maybe. When did Big Trouble come out? 1986?
86.
So it must have been 2016 that I went to see it, because it must have been the anniversary.
Yeah.
Oh my God. My dreams came true that night.
That's such a great movie. I just can't say enough great things. And then number one for me, Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's like your favorite movie of all time, isn't it?
I absolutely love The Big Lebowski. I mean, you've got the dude, you got Walter, you got Donnie, you got Bowling.
Yeah.
And you got Sam Elliott in there.
Yep.
And it is just such an absurd movie that it's just great.
Yeah.
I remember watching it the first time, and unlike Office Space or whatnot, I just immediately fell in love with it. I just, Jeff Bridges, how he didn't get nominated for it, I don't understand. He was just great in it. John Goodman gives a performance of a lifetime. I don't know what it is with him and Coen Brother movies.
Yeah.
But man, they
get the best out of him.
They get the best out of him. He was great in Raising Arizona. Yeah. The small role he had in that was just fantastic.
And Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, yes. It's just, Barton Fink. That was another Coen Brothers movie, right?
Or no? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that movie is perfect, and like, they have... when they have viewings, I'm sure they have quote-alongs and everything. I've never been to a big screen viewing of that one.
Oh, just, yeah. I mean, you could go on for days with The Big Lebowski. Yeah. Most of them we cannot repeat on this podcast because we want to keep this family-friendly.
Yeah, we want to keep it. We want to keep on the airwaves here. But
so, kids, if you're listening, you can't watch The Big Lebowski until you're older.
Yeah. I watched it like when I was like a little bit younger, but I don't remember it very well from then.
Yeah.
But then when I got to be older, I was like, this is a masterpiece.
Yeah. It is. It's just absolutely the best. I can't say enough big things.
Yeah.
Now look, I obviously we've missed movies.
Yeah.
Right. You know, one thing I love about top tens is trying to come up with the list. The thing I hate about doing top tens is, like, 2 hours from now, I'm just going to be filled with this existential dread that I left out these 20 movies.
Yeah.
How could I not talk about them? So, you know, if there's a movie that you guys absolutely love, that's a cult classic that we missed or the other list missed, and you think we're morons for doing so, please hit us up on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. Let us know what your top 10 would be. Let us know what movie you would have put on the list. And just tell us what you love.
Yeah, tell us what movies you like and what movies you'd be interested in watching after this podcast. I'd like to hear what movies we sold the best.
That's good,
You know, because, like, I'm sure, because they're cult movies, I'm sure the listeners haven't seen all of
There's
them.
There's got to be a couple in
now,
there.
I know some listeners that are related to us or part of our families have seen all these movies because of us.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So I'd love to hear their feedback too. But
yeah. It'll probably mostly be like, yeah, please never make us watch that again.
I don't know if my dad went with me to see Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, well, there
on
you
the
go.
Big screen. He's a fan of that movie.
I can see that. Yeah. Well, like I said, Wyatt loves it, so I don't think Sharon and Maddie are quite as thrilled when it gets put on as Wyatt is, but anytime I pop it in, he pops down and he stays with me, so that's awesome.
We'll have to have, like many cult movies, we'll have to have a sequel to this.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
Because I feel like we just scraped the surface.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could do genres next. Yeah. We could do, you know, we could just do a part two of ones that we missed, but yeah, absolutely. We will do more cult movies in the future.
Yeah. And no matter how poorly this episode does in the box office, it'll spawn more.
It will spawn more.
Spawn more cult classics.
Unnecessary sequels.
Well, we want to thank you for listening to us. And that was a good list you got, by the way. I thought our list would be more similar, but you had some that I didn't think about.
Well, thanks. Yeah. Yours was a good list, too. I can't disagree with that.
Yeah. We have very similar tastes.
So. Absolutely, yes.
But go ahead and follow us on socials. We are Nerd Podcast on Facebook and Nerd Podcast 86 on Instagram and Twitter because it was already taken, I guess.
Oh.
But we are...
Those thieves.
Yeah. Cyber thieves.
I tell you.
We're grateful that you listened to this week, and we hope that you come back. We got some excellent topics planned. So
yep. We'll, can't wait. It's only going to get better.
Only going to get better. All right. We'll invade your ear holes next time.
Yeah. Hey, stay nerdy.